You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
Matthew chapter 11, we'll begin reading in verse number 1 and go through verse number 12. The Bible begins in verse number 1, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said to him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force."
Amen. And let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. And Lord, I need your help today as I seek to convey this truth that you've given to me. I know it's been a help to me, but Lord, I want it to be a blessing to everyone that is here today, to those that are listening on the radio, those that are tuned in online. I pray that the word of God would be delivered with clarity. I pray that it be delivered with conviction, and I pray that it be delivered with power. May we not just be hearers of the word, but may we be doers of the word, and may we be better for it. Thank you for this day. I thank you for your people and their faithfulness to your house. I pray that you give us all a blessing and give us an encouragement that we would leave this place not the same, but that we would leave with a greater desire to serve you and live for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We see in Matthew chapter 11, we see in verse number 1, we see that Jesus had a purpose. He came to this earth. And by the way, Jesus did heal, and Jesus did touch the sick, and Jesus did help with physical needs. But Jesus came, the Bible says, to seek and to save that which was lost. The number one goal of the Lord Jesus Christ was not to fix the physical needs, not to make things a little bit better physically. The reason Jesus came was to save souls from hell, to save souls to heaven, to give us eternal life. And by the way, that is the goal of this church. We're not just trying to make Roanoke Rapids a better place to live, although it ought to be a better place to live. Your neighborhood ought to be better because you're in it, okay? You say, well, all my neighbors. Well, okay, maybe that's the case. Just make sure you're not the neighbor, you know? Make sure you're not the one at the workplace that makes life miserable for everybody else. We ought to be a light. We ought to be a good testimony. But our purpose for being here is to share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ so that all the world may know that there is a God in heaven, that people may know how they can have eternal life. Jesus, verse number 1, he was teaching and he was preaching. And then in verse number 2, the Bible says, and by the way, this is not a misprint. Aren't you glad that you don't have to worry about errors in the Bible? Verse 2, it says, now when John, that's John the Baptist, remember John the Baptist, who Jesus said there has not been greater born of women than John the Baptist? John the Baptist who said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist that baptized Jesus. Now, I think it'd be amazing to be baptized by Jesus. But can you imagine being the one to baptize Jesus? And John, you say, well, how did that work out? Well, John even said, I'm not worthy. He said, I'm not even worthy to unloose the latchet of your shoe. John said, I have need to be baptized of thee, not you of me. But Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And now we get to Matthew 11 and verse number 2, and something's wrong. This John the Baptist is in prison. And by the way, he wasn't in prison for doing wrong. He was in prison for doing right. I always give this example. I need to stop giving this example because I think every time a convenience store in Roanoke Rapids gets robbed, you're probably thinking, I wonder if Pastor did that because he's always talking about it. If the Speedway gets robbed, I'll tell you this, it's not me, okay? I'm not doing it. But if you go to the Speedway and you take a gun and you say, stick them up, give me all your money, and the police catch you, which I hope they do, and they lock you up and they put you in jail, don't tell everybody how bad you have it. Don't tell everybody what a victim you are. No, you are stupid, okay? You are dumb. You are foolish. You committed a crime. But John the Baptist didn't do that. You know why John the Baptist was in prison? Because he preached what God had told him to preach. And Herod didn't like it. And the people didn't like it. And the people, they took John, and Herod took John, and he put him in prison. Now, I would look at that and say, time out. Somebody's made a mistake here. This is John the Baptist. This is one of the greatest Christians that's ever lived. This is a man of God. This is a prophet. This is a preacher. And he is in prison for doing what is right? Yes. I wonder for John, I wonder if there were times that John thought, there's got to be some kind of mistake here. This is not the way it's supposed to be. I thought I was going to serve God. I thought I was going to preach the word. I thought I was going to surrender to God. And I thought everything was going to go good in my life. Well, friend, I want to tell you, sometimes when you serve God and you do what's right, things don't always go well. Sometimes there will be persecution. Sometimes there will be adversity. Jesus said it like this, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And here John is in prison. And was this a mistake? Is this something that slipped past the control of God? I've got news for you this morning. God doesn't make mistakes. This was not outside of God's control. This was not God in heaven thinking, oh no, what am I going to do? John has been locked up and oh no, this is John being persecuted. This was not a mistake. God allowed this and God had a plan for John's life. We see number one, the questioning of, is this a mistake? John is in prison. He's hearing about what Jesus is doing, but here he is locked up. He's chained up. He can't be preaching like he wants to. So in verse number three, he sends two of his disciples to ask Jesus a question. Notice verse three. And said unto him, verse number two, now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, some Bible scholars have said that John knew the answer, but he just wanted the disciples to hear it for themselves. But I'll be honest with you, I think this is John questioning. I think this is John wondering, what's going on? How has this happened? I thought that Jesus was the Messiah, and I believed that he was the Son of God, and now I'm having some doubts. I'm having some question marks. Number two, I see there was a misunderstanding. After all the preaching that John had done, after all that God had used him to do, there was a moment in his life where he began to doubt the Lord. You know why? Because he was human, just like you and just like me. And if you've never had doubts in your life, if you've never had questions in your life, you've not lived long enough, or you haven't been paying attention. Because there are times in our lives where we begin to question and say, I've tried to live for God. I've tried to raise a family for God. I've tried to be a good husband. I've tried to be a good wife. I've tried to be faithful to serve the Lord. I've tried to be faithful to give, and I've done all these things. And yet bad things are happening because of it, it seems. Whenever we doubt, we must never undo in doubt what we decided in faith. And I want to remind you, if you can understand it, it's not faith. If you can figure it out, it's not faith. And the Bible says that the just shall live by faith, and we walk by faith and not by sight. And John had some questions. He had some doubts. He thought maybe there was some kind of a mistake, maybe even a misunderstanding. Art thou he that should come, or are we looking for somebody else? I want you to notice Jesus' response to the disciples in verses 4 through 6. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now Jesus told John's disciples, he said, You've heard this. You've seen this. He said, You have seen the miracles that I have done. Now, I don't know how these guys could forget. Don't you think you'd remember if you saw a blind man that was healed? Don't you think you'd remember if you saw a lame man that was raised up, or if you saw a leper cleansed, or you saw someone who was dead was raised from the dead? Don't you think you'd remember that? I would think so. Jesus tells them and reminds them of the miracles, but hang on a second. I think sometimes we're pretty quick to forget the miracles that God has done in our lives. Remember what I said at the beginning, that the greatest need a person has is not a physical need. The greatest need that all of us have is a spiritual need. And the greatest miracle that could ever happen in your life is not for your eyesight. It's not for your legs to be healed. It's not for your ears to be able to hear. It's not for the leprosy to be cleansed. It is not even for your physical death for you to be raised again. The greatest need we have is eternal life. And the greatest need we have is salvation. And if you're here this morning and you've been saved by the grace of God, that was a miracle that took place in your life. You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't work enough. You couldn't do enough. The only way you could be saved is because Jesus reached way down and he picked you up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set your feet upon a rock and he established your going and he put a new song in your mouth, even praise unto God. That's a miracle, and that's a greater miracle than anything these disciples saw. But yet, how soon do we forget? Let's be honest. How soon do we forget about the day we got saved? How soon do we forget about the miracles God has done in our lives? How soon do we forget about the hearts that have been changed and the lives that have been changed and the miracles that have been done and the prayers that have been answered? By the way, if you're here today and you've got a roof over your head, that's because God's been good to you. If you've got clothes on your back, God's been good to you. If you've got food on the table, God's been good to you. And I want to tell you, anything good in our lives is all because of him. And it's the miracles of God every day that we take for granted. And Jesus reminds them of the miracles. Don't forget about the miracles. Don't forget about the miracles that have happened in your life. When you begin to doubt the Lord, just go back to the day you got saved. Just go back and trace your steps and realize, were it not for the mercy of God, we'd be in hell today. If it were not for the mercy of God, we wouldn't have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We wouldn't have a citizenship in heaven. We wouldn't have a new name written down in glory. But praise God for the miracles that God has done. Quickly, I see number four. I see the messenger. Jesus then turns to the multitude after these disciples have come and asked him from John the Baptist, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? And then Jesus turns to the multitudes after he answers their question. And he says, speaking of John, he says, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? What were you expecting to see? That's where John was preaching. You say, why was he out in the wilderness? Because he was a strange duck. He was out in the wilderness because he was eating locusts and wild honey. Now, I can see the wild honey part, but I'm not signing up for the locusts. That is not a diet I want to be on. And then John's clothing was different. He wore camel skins. Now, you say, was that in style in John's day? No. It was strange. It was unusual. And Jesus said, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? Were you looking to see a reed that was shaking in the wind? Did you think you were going to find a preacher who was just preaching what was popular? Did you think you'd find a preacher that would just tickle your ears and tell you what you want to hear? Jesus said, oh no, that's not John. He wasn't a reed that was blowing in the wind. John was a rock. John had a foundation. John had a backbone. John was willing to preach what thus saith the Lord no matter what. Then Jesus said, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? Did you go out to see a man who was clothed in soft raiment? The word soft raiment, it talks about a clothing that was very delicate. In some cases, even clothing that would have been considered effeminate. And Jesus said, that's not what John was wearing. And if you went out to see a sissy, if you went out to see somebody that was weak, that's not what you found, because John was a man that was not afraid. He was not a man looking for the popular opinion. He was not a man looking for the applause of men. He was a man that was looking for the approval of God. And Jesus said, what, did you go out to see a prophet? He said, yea, and I say unto you, and more than a prophet. He said, if you went out to find a prophet, that's exactly what you found. Because John was a prophet. Number four, the word is he was the messenger. He was the messenger. And then in verse number 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Verse 10, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. He was God's messenger. And Fred, I want to tell you, John was a messenger from God. And you and I are also messengers. We've got a message from God. We have got a message. It's not our message. It's not the church's message. It's not an organization's message. It's not a denomination's message. But we have the word of God that we are commanded to give to the world. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Aren't you glad you don't have to come up with the message? Aren't you glad you don't have to figure out what to say? All you have to do is just say what God has said. All you have to do is just tell somebody what God did for you. All you have to do is share the good news of the gospel. We are messengers of God. But then I see quickly, number five, I see the message. It's found in verse 10. In the second part of the verse, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. This is interesting. What John was doing is he was clearing a path. He was clearing a way to make it easy for people to get to Jesus. Now, if you have small children or grandchildren, or maybe you have teenage children that have this problem, sometimes you walk into a bedroom and there is no path. You can't get from the door to the bed. You can't get from the door to the closet. Or maybe you have a husband with that problem. But anyway, you get the idea, right? But there's no path. What do? You clear the path. And it's good to clear the path, because if you have to go in there and there are toys, if there are Legos, how many of you know that's not a fun thing to step on when you're not expecting it? And so you got to clear the path. And you know what John was doing? His message was, hey, let's clear the path. Let's get people to Jesus. Let's make it as easy as we can so that people can get to Christ. And friend, that is our message. Our message is, you got to get to Jesus, and we want to make it as easy as possible. We want to share it with as many people as we can. We want to make it as simple as we can. We want to share it lovingly. We want to share it graciously. We want people to get to Jesus. We're not trying to get people to us. We're not trying to win people to our church or win people to our denomination. We're trying to win people to the only one that can save them. His name is Jesus, and that is our message. But I see lastly in verse number 6, and this is where I've been trying to get, and I won't keep you long, but I want to make this statement, and I want to share these thoughts, and we'll go home. I hope it'll be a help to you. Number 6, I see in verse number 12, I see our mission. It says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. It's a strange verse, isn't it? First of all, that word violence there, we're not talking about just hitting people and beating people up. That word violence, it means to have a forcefulness. It means to have a power. It means to have an energy, a passion. It even has the connotation of being someone who is desperate. And Jesus says this. He says, from the days of John the Baptist until now. Well, what happened when John came on the scene? The children of Israel had gone through 400 silent years. There hadn't been a whole lot happening for the kingdom of heaven. There hadn't been a whole lot of preaching. There hadn't been a whole lot of people preparing the way for Christ. But John comes on the scene, and John was not passive. He was passionate. John was not weak. He was forceful. John was not laid back. John was desperate to get people to Christ. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. There was a spiritual warfare going on. And I got news for you. We're on the winning side when it comes to spiritual warfare. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And Jesus says, John's come on the scene and he's preaching, and the devil doesn't like it. And Jesus comes on the scene and he's preaching, and the devil doesn't like it. But here's the good news. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against God's people, and the gates of hell are never going to touch the kingdom of God. Aren't you glad that the gates of heaven, there's nobody getting in there that doesn't belong. God is not in heaven nervous thinking, oh no, I wonder if we're under attack. I wonder if Satan and his armies are coming. God's not nervous, but Satan sure is. The Bible says the devils, they believe and they tremble. They're fearful. The devil knows that he has but a short time. And so Jesus says about John the Baptist, he says, I want you to know that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. Verse number 12. And the violent take it by force. Charles Spurgeon said this about this passage. He said, frequently complaints are made and surprise is expressed by individuals who have never found a blessing that rests upon anything they attempted to do in the service of God. In quotes, Charles Spurgeon says, I have been a Sunday school teacher for years, and I have never seen any of my girls or any of my boys converted. No, Spurgeon goes on to say, and the reason most likely is you have never been violent about it. You've never been passionate about it. You've never been desperate for it. You've never been compelled by the divine spirit to make up your mind that converted they should be, and no stone should be left unturned until they were. You've never been brought by the spirit to such a passion that you have said, I cannot live unless God bless me. That's a quote from Jacob, who wrestled with God, and he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And can I tell you, there must come a point in our lives where we get desperate. That we get desperate to say, God, I can't be the husband I need to be unless I've got you. I can't be the wife I need to be. I can't be the teenager I need to be. I can't be the child I need to be. I can't be the parent. I can't be the Sunday school teacher I need to be. I can't be the bus worker. I can't be the choir member. I can't be the master club worker. I can't be who I need to be, God, unless you do something in me. And that's when people are desperate. That's when God pours out his power. Most of us in 2024, if we're honest, we have found it's just so easy to be complacent. It's just easy to be comfortable. And by the way, we like being comfortable. We like our comfort zone. But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, we must be desperate. When it comes to the kingdom of heaven, we must get passionate. When it comes to the kingdom of heaven, we must have a burden and a brokenness and tears. We must have a passion, and we must have a desire to see God do something in us and through us. It was Elijah on Mount Carmel that got desperate. You see, if Elijah lost that contest with the false prophets, Elijah would have been killed. Elijah needed God to send fire so that all Israel may know that there is a God in heaven. So that the people would not a halt between two opinions. And he said, if God be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Elijah was desperate. And it took a prayer of 63 words for the fire of God to fall because somebody got desperate. I'm not against bedtime prayers. I think it's good if you pray with your children. I'm not against mealtime prayers. I think you ought to pray before your meal and thank God for the food. You know the drill. If it's not healthy, I don't think you should ask God to bless it. I think you just thank him for it, right? Lord, this chocolate cake I'm about to eat, Lord, I pray that you'd bless it to the nourishment of my body. Well, I'm not so sure that's going to happen. Maybe you just ought to thank him for it and enjoy it. I'm all for bedtime prayers. I'm all for mealtime prayers. I think we should do it. But the Christian life is going to have to be more then now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. James 5:16, the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer, passionate prayer, powerful prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It was Daniel in the lion's den that knew how to pray. By the way, it was his prayers that got him in the lion's den, but it was also his prayers that got him out of the lion's den. It was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when faced with a fiery furnace that they said, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter, O king. We will not bow down, and our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and even if he doesn't, we still will not bow down to you. You see, the kingdom of God, we're talking about eternity. We're talking about souls being saved. We're talking about making a difference for the cause of Christ. And the kingdom of heaven is not obtained by Christians who are passive. The souls of men are not won by Christians who are lackadaisical. Victories are not won in prayer by people who are not serious about prayer. Things are happening and things are accomplished when we get desperate and when we pray and when we seek God, like everything depends upon him. I'll close with this. In our church this morning, I thank God for our church. In our families, I thank God for our families. But we're going to need to see a generation that gets serious. As a pastor, I don't want to be passive. I want to be passionate. As a pastor, I don't want to be laid back and easygoing. I want to do something for God. I want to see God do a work that only he can do. I'm glad that salvation is a gift. I'm glad I don't have to pray and beg and be desperate for salvation, although there's nothing wrong with that if that's the way you got saved. But all you have to do to be saved is you have to be willing to receive the gift of eternal life. Salvation comes as a free gift. Victories come through battles. And victories come through prayer. And victories come through the Word of God. And victories come from Christians who get serious about the things of God.
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.